Blog Talk Radio.
Topic tonight, since I've been working too much and I'm not quite, I haven't put in my notice for my third job yet, so I've been working 8 to 12 hour days. John just got off the phone with me. He's at the gym. He's showering. He'll be on soon. Don is on the phone. We were blessed with a guest caller last week from South Carolina. Tonight it just might be us. I did inform Albert and Wade. Tonight's topic is idol worship should only be reserved for God. And I'm also going to elaborate on some things I've observed in my regional area, which is Duluth, the largest city in northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin. Idol worship should only be reserved for God. We see a lot of people today striving to become their own gods. They want people to worship and adore them, and they choose social media as a venue. We even have people of faith gravitate to non-Christian leaders such as Donald Trump. We see Britney Spears stripping down daily on Instagram, showing everything but her most intimate private parts, and her losing the faith of her sons, which she doesn't seem to be able to weigh the value of losing sons versus getting attention by multitude of strangers. We see the Kardashians trying to outrun their bloated egos and commercialism that has waned. The royal family is getting way more attention than it wants. What is the point of so much in-your-face fame? Even Johnny Depp tries to maximize his hatred against his wife, ex-wife, and becomes more popular. I was scrolling through Instagram last night after work, and I found three Instagram accounts that was re-idolizing Princess Diana now that the Queen has died. There's more video surfacing of Princess Diana, and she will never be laid to rest. And I started thinking, nobody ever talks about anymore about JFK Jr. or his wife Caroline and Caroline's sister dying. Nobody talks about them incessantly in the news, and thank God for it. Let people die, and don't. Idol worship is actually a sin, worshiping other humans and idolizing them, trying to emulate them and become them. People can improve their looks and be glamorous, but they shouldn't obsess about it. And I see a lot of people do nowadays. Another problem I see in the non-media is that a lot of people I know in Duluth are having multiple pregnancies and multiple births. They're not married. They might have a live-in boyfriend, or they might be single. It doesn't even seem to faze them. The good news is they're not having an abortion. The bad news is some of them don't have their life priorities in order. I'm not going to go into detail because I think if I talk too much detail, I'm just going to give one example. One example is I know a girl, she's pregnant for the second time. She's had the same boyfriend almost 5 years. They don't have a vehicle and winter is approaching. Now, wouldn't it be a priority to get a vehicle before you get a second child? You know, it just doesn't make sense. We all work strange hours at this one job where the bus doesn't run certain hours or you have to wait a while to get it. And I just think, what's this world coming to? And John has been on the phone about 5 minutes. John missed the intro. John, the intro is idol worship in modern society and obsessing over celebrities and dead celebrities. So with that, I'm going to pull in the hosts. Don heard the whole intro. I can't repeat it at this time. Hi, Don. How's it going?
Hello, Jane. Hello, John. Hello, everyone. It's going very well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I did postpone the show a half hour because I really didn't get home till 9 o'clock, your guys' time, and I'm super tired tonight, so, you know, okay. I just thought I'd pick a light topic. And plus, we're coming off the death of the Queen, and as I told Don, but not John, that I'm seeing more videos and website accounts surfacing in tribute to Princess Diana. And I just think it's gone overboard. On the other hand, there's certain people who are in the spotlight who shouldn't be. Like, Don, don't, no background noise tonight, Don. I mean it.
That's not me. That's not me.
Okay. John, I've seen Prince Charles the Third have like four faux pas in public every time he's signing papers or about to go give a speech. He has a negative attitude, and he's too old to be king. So on the other hand, maybe I'm a glutton for the right kind of celebrity, too, because they need. It's fine that he rightfully got his heir, but he needs to amp his game and stop complaining. He's been preparing 70 years for this role, so he should not be saying in public things that he's saying, like complaining about not finding the right pen to sign and not knowing the date. So on the other hand, some people have already deflated my faith in them, but I do think, as John mentioned on the show about 3 months ago, the royal family is plastered everywhere in magazines and stores, and they must get pretty sick of it at times. So with that, I'm going to give the floor to either of you guys.
I would say let Don run with it for a little bit, just because I have some noise in where I'm at, and it'll be gone in about 10 minutes.
That's fine. Just, you can mute yourself till you want to talk. It was just a little noise in the beginning, but Don has the handicap of having a large family, and he can't help it, but I don't know if there's a private spot in his house he can talk from. Okay, go ahead, Don. No. What's your take on my long intro?
First of all, my family is not a handicap. But the other thing is that...
I didn't mean it like that. I mean that you don't have privacy.
Right, that's true. But for the most part, idolatry of peoples is almost totally out of my concept. I've been dealing with them, but I'm kind of like Prince Charles. I've been dealing with people in power for so long that it doesn't affect me. But there are a lot of people who don't have that opportunity to have the exposure, and so they.
How do the people? Since you're in a more pragmatic arena, like you're dealing with legislators and people on boards and committees of public service, they're not necessarily in the entertainment industry, yet they probably still entertain. What's your take on people who have that collateral leverage, who have more power than the average person?
That's where the word privilege comes in, and that's what, that's why a lot of these people in our society are the way they are, obnoxious, obese, and hypocritical, cruel, and very hateful of other people. It's because they haven't experienced the regular people experience, like Prince Charles. So not very many people, grow up on a polo horse. that doesn't happen very
right.
often. And so, the bottom line is that he's not going to be anything but a titular head, and he'll serve just fine in that endeavor as long as he keeps his mouth shut. His family and he have a lot of secrets, as a lot of those people do.
Now, I think Queen Elizabeth, I feel like she balanced her private life and her public life pretty well. She enjoyed being in the country. She went hunting with the family, bird hunting. She liked being with her dogs and horse riding. Like, I don't think, people always say she wasn't geared for being in the spotlight all the time, but when she did have to deal with heads of state and her own prime ministers, then she always came prepared. But I don't think she was a attention whore by any stretch. Now,
sure
one person
was.
I don't think who hasn't
sure
gotten, the Princess of Wales, William's wife, Kate Middleton. Now, she's somebody, I've been watching videos of her too because they just pop up, but she has a very thin physique. She's always dressed perfect. She doesn't make a spectacle of herself or display an inadequate amount of emotion. Now, someone like that should really get some credit, too, because she manages three kids, and, you know, they go to charities, and there's not always drama around her. So, but I do think the royal family would like to take a step back at times, and they can't, because they seem to be at the centerpiece of all of that BS.
Yeah, but you've got the queen who is a colonialist. She pretty much disliked other races. She was a racist.
No, she wasn't. Even Meghan Markle said that she always treated her very well. One time she shared a blanket with her in the back seat of a car when they were cold. And she was not the one in the family who made those racist remarks about Prince Harry marrying her.
But they didn't. She didn't say anything, and it didn't help. When you're silent, you're an accomplice. So, you know, essentially, she could have healed that wound just as she could have stopped Andrew from, you know, doing little girl.
I think she has said some things about it.
Okay, well, what were they? I haven't heard.
Well, you know,
anyway.
It's not about who did this or who did that. It's about,
sure it is.
I'm talking more about the kind of celebrity that, I'll give you a perfect example. Johnny Depp came out of that defamation hearing and with flying colors, but a lot of people didn't pay attention to how bad he treated his wife, how jealous and controlling he was. And yes, she mistreated him too, because as the limelight ascended, she was trying to defend herself any way she could, because she knew that she was overwhelmed by his popularity. So she gave him some low digs, but also she was in a very unpleasant marriage with him. And even as popular as he is publicly, he was a horrible person to be married to.
Yeah, she wasn't that great when she pees in his bed, so that's not...
No, poops. That's why they call her Amber Turd.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what kind of pressure she was under. He got drunk and high quite a bit.
She let loose a lot of pressure in the bed, the poop in the bed. So, you know, there's nothing, there's two stories to every relationship. And, you know, the sad thing about it is that they bring their problems out in the open air, and that's sad. But
well, they both
know,
sued each other, and then, like, he sued her. He got like, I don't even remember how much it was. His was, like, $50 million, and hers was, she was awarded $10 million, but she had to pay him $40 million more than what he was supposed to receive. But the bottom line is it ruined both of their reputations, except for now his music career has relaunched. And I feel like the whole circus did them more harm than good.
Well, I didn't pay attention much to the circus. I just know that I left Hollywood for people like that, like them. And it's really sad that people are like that. People live like that. People get angry at other people like that.
And people follow them. Like, what? She got at least a dozen or more death threats for her and her child. People were angry at her that she still got a elusive role in one of those Marvel series. She still retained her role. as Aquawoman or something. And they were angry she didn't lose that. And what I'm saying is people have their sights on the, you know, like Oprah says, live your best life. You know, go work out, eat right. Don't worry about other people unless they are a real role model and you can follow what they're saying, like on a YouTube video, well, like a TED Talk or something. Like,
right,
it just seems a lot of misguidance is going on.
Right, because people aren't worried about information. Part of it is because people aren't worried about information anymore. They're more worried about glamour and how they look and how they dress and how they feel and how they walk and everything like that. And the sad thing about it is that the world is, the mental images are changing. And now it's good to be, in some manner, to some people, plump, if you will, or big boned, or whatever you might want to call it. So the concept.
And part of it was the onset of the Kardashian craze, which started almost 10 years ago. It gave the little guy a chance to magnify himself because they were relative unknowns, except for Ryan Seacrest funded their show, and they all pick loser boyfriends for the most part.
Not loser boyfriends. These boys.
Some of them are.
No, they're hung 12 inches. That's not a loser. That's just.
Okay, well, like some of them have skills, like basketball playing, or Kanye West is a talented musician. But then he's actually a Christian who writes Christian lyrics, but they never, once someone goes against the Kardashian, then all their bad assets get pumped in the media versus their praise. Because there seems to be a campaign against people who diss the Kardashian woman.
What's that got to do with Kanye?
I'm just saying, like, there's so much misrepresentation, and I'm actually presenting my disapproval for people who worship people like this.
Right.
Like, I can't even think of one. I can think of some B-list actors that I admire, but on a daily basis, I don't wake up thinking I want to have makeup like J-Lo, or I want to dress like Jennifer Aniston. Like, I'm just not cut out for that type of mentality.
But they have people like Selena's killer, who is fanaticized. You know, fanatic. The lady who killed singer's name? Wasn't it Selena or Akia or Alicia or
the one who was killed 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Her name's Selena, and she was killed by her assistant.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They become fanatical, and you don't know. Somebody's going to have an overwhelming.
In that case, I can understand because she was killed, and she was a trusting young girl with a talent that was just rising.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in my life, I was obsessed with Bob Dylan, but only in the sense that I thought his music was prolific. I thought he had something worthwhile to contribute.
Well, when you speak in these terms, apparently on this topic for the show, celebrity, then you're talking monetary entertainer, or the entertainer for monetary.
No,
because
I also, before John got on the air, luckily he was in the shower, I do think even that you hear a lot of people nowadays say, I'm going to vote for the man, not the party, even before Donald Trump came on the horizon. A lot of people who are voters don't have the critical thinking skills to differentiate if a politician would be good for their local legislature, the Congress, the House, seats or public office, and they vote the personality, not the background the person has. So all that stuff gets amped up and maligned. By the way, I am going to deflect for a minute just so I can get on a more in-depth topic. I did hear something interesting today about the other three cops that are being tried in the Chauvin George Floyd case. The other three cops, the one whose last name was Officer Lane, who was holding down George Floyd's feet, he asked Derek Chauvin twice during that 9 minutes, can we turn him over so the suspect can get more relief, you know, like not be in that same position? And Derek Chauvin turned him down. Well, that guy pleaded guilty today for a lesser sentence, like 2 days ago, I mean, and I think he's getting 9 years and he's in a Colorado prison already, but the other two pleaded innocent and they have a trial beginning October 24th.
Right, because he already has served 2.5 years. Or two years.
So anyways, he just decided, I wouldn't say taking the easy way out, but he just decided, I'm just going to get this over with. And now, if he had asked his senior officer, can this man be turned over, you know, and not have your knee on his neck, like, turn the dude over, let's get at it, then in some ways, except for the fact he could have jumped and knocked Derek Chauvin over and stopped the whole thing, and betrayed his chain of command. In some ways, I don't know if he is responsible for Derek Chauvin's death. What do you think? I'm not talking about Derek Chauvin. I'm talking about Lane,
who was required
to hold his feet.
Right, and the thing is that's what part of the defunding the police part is. I deal with the police all the time. I'm a member of some of their advisory groups. And
we're familiar with that. You've
not
talked about it a lot on our show.
Right. Well, the thing is that it's not necessarily a defund per se that you're looking for or that phrase means. It just means to defund the things that exist and put those monies into things that need to be increased or improved. And mostly,
like training?
Exactly. Exactly. Like training. That's very, very important. And what I always is a proponent of is the 21st Century Community Policing Task Force of Obama's. And so that's why I guide my principles on when I go and talk in these advisory situations. So fortunately here in Reno, we are big proponents of the 21st Century Community Policing Task Force, and all the police forces here abide by it pretty much all the way down to Las Vegas, and they do too. So it's a statewide implemented idea, and so we're pushing forward with it, and it's been very successful so far. We have a lower crime rate than almost any city geographic and demographic has all throughout the country, and it works. We're seeing that it works.
Oh, by the way, I was wrong. Thomas Lane, the former officer, he's already serving 2.5 federal sentences, as you mentioned, but he only got 3 years total,
right,
including the speed charges, and he's serving them concurrently, which means technically he could be out in 6 months.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I was
trying
to say.
And the main thing is that he accepted responsibility. He decided to plead guilty.
The responsibility was that he didn't have enough guts to stand up to Chauvin. I don't care if you're, you know, and that's the indoctrination. That's the brainwashing that the militaristic police forces have. You know,
well, I was trying to figure out which one was the first day on the job. One of those guys, it was the first week on the job.
Yeah, I don't think
so. They were probably scared shitless.
Exactly. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it might have been Lane. But I don't know that for a fact. You know, I come from my mom was a police woman. I'm a cop kid. And I know the successes of community policing, and that's one of the things that's changing is community volunteers and more training for domestic violence situations where more than likely it's a mental breakdown as opposed to something that needs to be adjudicated with force. And those things, scientific facts have come out that those help in allaying violence in situations than it does if there's somebody who is actually, ready to fight, ready to go in guns blazing. So these things work, and people have to look at them, and it may take looking out of the box, but these things are possible.
As we talk, all this stuff boils down to media distortion. Every topic in America almost boils down to media distortion.
It's not distortion. It's reality for different segments of society. Different peoples take different things differently. And as I've often mentioned, the main thing people have to understand is that if they're American and they go by Constitution, the first article that was written was the Negro is three-fifths of a man. So if we go by the Constitution, then that is principle that we all have to look at, take a hard look at. What is our Constitution for? And our Constitution for only white.
And even in that case, some constitutionalists take that too seriously because they only they cherry pick the parts of the Constitution they think justify social conditioning and tradition to defend their white supremacy, for lack of a better description.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right.
Watching a Christian show on history about the Pilgrims, and they had the whole thing wrong. They said the Pilgrims created they were talking about the Pilgrims kind of being like the authors of the Constitution. All those lines of thoughts came from the philosophers in England and France. It didn't come from the Pilgrims. That had already been established in England years earlier before they got here, and they didn't give any credence to the proper historians and writers of those constitutional values, like civil liberties will be exchanged for the law and things of that nature, like all those concepts, you know, that were applied through the Constitution. They just attributed the whole thing to the Pilgrims. And then they try to snowball it in only to a Christian-based thing, which isn't true. It was a civil-based, philosophical reasoning process that was started by a lot of people in England who were writing for centuries, which
right,
I really don't want to get into tonight because I'm a little brain dead.
Well, no.
John should be
true.
Done with this. What?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of half true because the first schools, everyone learned how to read, and they learned how to read the Bible. And the groups that did come, like the Puritans, they wanted a pure society. They wanted to start all over. They wanted this to be a new world, a new beginning. come everything's New England, New York, New Hampshire, you know, just is basically they wanted to have a society that was set apart to God. And were there problems?
That
yes,
makes
of
sense.
Course. Was there bias? Yes. You know, like basically the what they did is they used to have the alphabet. They would teach all the kids on skin, like lamb skin, sheep skin, pig skin, whatever skin they had, and they learned the alphabet. As they felt they had to know how to read, and if they could read, then they could read the Bible and they could have morality. And that's come all the schools. They learned about God. Now we've veered away from that, but the concept that we don't like black people or that they're below us, you have to realize cultural timing. Like example, they rode horses back then. We don't ride horses now. It's like most people don't even know about the whole.
I wasn't trying to diss the pilgrims, John, but let me just reframe my statement and then you can comment because we're both right actually. Thomas Hobbes, who lived from 1588 to 1679, John Locke, who lived from the 1630s to the 1700s, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who lived in the mid-1700s from France, they were the philosophers who developed a theory of natural rights in exchange for civil rights. In other words, you have to give up some of your natural rights in exchange
right.
for, like, police protection, the sake of the community. So what I was really trying to say is these people on this video, they were glorifying the pilgrims, which is cool, but they made it sound like the Christians came over here solely for the purpose of creating a pure government. Well, that might have been part of their motive, but they were also trying to get away from the oppression of the Church of England, who wouldn't allow them to express themselves the way they wanted. So they
Absolutely.
Really came over for religious freedom. They didn't come over to establish the perfect civil government, at least from the get-go.
They had to use, obviously the founding fathers, all these people, they were educated in different things. You had atheists, you had people from all faiths that didn't want to overstep. Like they wanted to have a careful society. They wanted a government that was balanced and fair and all these wonderful things. So there were a lot of concepts that, you know, they had to work with. And the Constitution, I mean, yeah, Thomas Paine, yeah, the people that they didn't believe in God. And how do you balance
that? And
they
also
that?
Had the fights over federal versus state rights.
Right. They went over this stuff endlessly. But, you know, something to keep in mind in regards with minorities and things of that nature is that you grandfather things in to society. Like from right now at this moment, if you said, hey, abortion, good or bad, the majority of people, maybe it's 51% or 55%, but majority of people want abortion. They don't go to church. They're not seeking God. And then when they get pregnant, it's like, just kill the baby. That's what they want to do. So that wasn't that way of thinking 30 or 40 years ago.
Believe that when the pilgrims came over here, they did establish God's providence, but it wasn't just the white people who did it. Like the black people who were in slavery, they also embodied the church with their hymn singing and their calling out to God for help and a plea. Like, it was a symbiosis. It wasn't just like these special group of people that came over. Now, I believe our country has been blessed because we worship the Israeli God, you know, Yahweh, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. But on the other hand, we can't act in an exclusive way. It's like an embodiment of believers type of thing. That's how I look at it.
Well, you've got a whole mix of things. The idea that, example with Indians, when the settlers came in, you had this culture that wasn't worshiping the same God. And they had a lot of pagan beliefs and practices and things like that. And so they didn't want that in the culture. That's come. They did want
they,
to.
The indigenous did not have God.
It's because they were treated badly as time went on.
Yeah,
well, they worship, you know, different things, you know, moons and
right,
you know, animals and things like that.
Oh, God. Anyway, go ahead.
But for them, still sacred.
Well, you know, they worship spirits, you know, the eagle spirit and the wolf spirit and all these different. They had different values, and they were peaceful, but in other ways they weren't. So, I mean, the idea of scalping someone, I mean, that's not a very peaceful resolution. And, you know, so to some of the settlers, they were like primitive beasts in some of their philosophies. And how do you reconcile that? That's a tough thing to do.
By letting the Indians in the Midwest help frame a lot of the laws. That's how you do it. The treaties and laws, which were subsequently broken, of course, by, you know, most of the white men. The treaties and laws were written with the help of the indigenous natives in the Midwest.
Well, there was a lot of advanced society, like the Algonquians in Southern California. The Algonquians had their own tribal form of government called longhouses, and they had an advanced society. But I think one thing we're missing is that I worked in a treatment center for natives for 3 months, and I felt like people gave me the cold shoulder for being a Christian. Because in this part of the country, there's a resurgence of traditional tribal practices.
You're negating the education and the knowledge and intelligence of people of color. That's what you're doing.
No, I'm not. I just said that me who spent 3 years researching the Ojibwe and writing a play that made it to cable television, you're barking up the wrong tree, dude. But I can tell you this. When I worked in the treatment center, I did feel kind of a cold shoulder for being a Christian, because up here in northern Minnesota, there's been a resurgence of Native American traditions. Like, they do certain customs even in that treatment center called smudging, where you take some kind of smoky herb thing and light it on fire and cleansify yourself. I don't know. Some of the stuff I wasn't familiar with, I just observed.
Well, here's the thing, though, Don. Would you live in a teepee? Like you have a choice. You live in white man's house, white man's cars, watch white man's TV, white man's electronics. Why don't you use smoke signals? Why don't you take your squaw? And why don't you ride on your
But
if it's such a great, and I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying
we wouldn't have that if it wasn't for the black man's invention. The filament on the TV screen was made by a black man. It was just stolen by Edison. All the other things, some of the other things you made are made by black people. So this is our country, and it's the indigenous country before ours. So we respect
it. Well, why don't you give it back to the indigenous people? Why don't you take your land and give it back to them?
We don't, because we don't have any land. The land that we have is in foreclosure, and we're tying up.
I thought it was in Africa.
There won't be. That's why we're still in the ghettos. That's why we're still in the middle of the city, because the white man won't let us get loans.
You're not in the ghetto.
No, I'm not in the ghetto, but the rest of my people, a lot of them are, and they can't get out.
How many people live in the ghetto? Is the ghetto 90% of the population or 20%?
Well, I mean, it's not 90, but probably closer to 60.
I mean,
you're down south, you see that these cities, Jackson, Mississippi, 60%, and they've got all these goofballs killing them with bad water that they don't care about. You know, and they don't care about.
There's a lot of white people living in that, too. There's a lot of white trash living in there.
The city is 60% black.
I thought we're all brothers and sisters.
Oh, we are. Oh, I have no problem with it. I don't categorize anybody. I love everybody. I have a problem not loving everybody. That's my problem. You know, I give everybody credence and respect, and the thing they want is not to be objectified, to be treated as like they were everyone else. I don't care if you're indigent or you have, you know, prestige or whatever you got. You know, you've got intelligence, you know, you got pain and suffering bodily. I can take care of that too. I have the ability to just touch.
I'm working on a project in Bel Air. It's a 55-unit place, and
right.
There's people of all color. All color. There's black people. It's not like, oh, you can't come in here. You're not allowed. As long as you got the green, you can come in. It's not a big deal.
Right.
You know.
Albert's mentioned that on the show, John, that he tried to go into some gated communities in Riverside, and he was always kicked out.
Right.
If he's got the money, they let you in.
Well, there's a lot of Middle Easterners in Bel Air, like Middle Eastern doctors and stuff.
Bel Air has become
old.
I was just through there a couple of weeks ago, and it's becoming so old that it's, I wouldn't say decaying, but it's getting more civilized to, it's just becoming more accepted. And that's,
like Calabasas is the new Beverly Hills.
I don't know about that.
Bel Air can't grow, it can't grow any bigger. It's a fixed geographic community. So,
basically,
John, what did you observe in that wealthy community?
Well, they pay $6,000 rent. That's just rent. So you got to make at least $72,000. But before that's after taxes. So really, you got to make like $90,000 or so to afford it. That's just the rent. Right by there is kind of interesting. You know, the Getty Center. See, this is off of Sunset. Like there's Wilshire or the Federal Building.
Oh, I like
there,
that area.
Right.
The next one is Sunset, and after that's Moraga and then Mulholland. So within about 1 mile away, you can see the Getty Center. It's kind of interesting. It's up in the mountains here, overlooking both sides. It overlooks L.A. and then also overlooks Malibu out to the ocean.
I've been
and
to the Getty Center.
And the thing is, it has its own little railway to go up to the Getty Center. Now, you figure it. You look at that thing, it's like a little highway going up to the Getty Center. If you can imagine, who has the money to make a rail system to go up to a building, you know? Like, that's crazy money. Like
I'm sure they have some public funding for that because the Getty Center is an art museum.
This is J. Paul Getty, honey. No, that was all his own money. You crazy.
Well, I didn't know. I've been there twice with my friend Gil, who's a painter.
Everybody's been to the Getty Center. And
no, they haven't. Janessa Hoffman has.
Janessa has. Okay. But the bottom line is,
has John Gallimore been to the Getty Center?
Oh, yes. I just said it. Of course. Been there a couple times. But, I used to work for the... I work for the LA Times, so I've been everywhere.
And they let you in, you know, regardless of the color of your skin. But, you know, the Gettys, they got all their trust and their tax laws written up from them by Gavin Newsom's dad. So the Newsom's, he was a, I think it's George Newsom, I think, but he was an attorney. And he made up all the sweet deals for them. And so Gavin grew up like it was one of their own. And that's come they funded his Pulp Jack Winery. And so he's he's very well connected. That's the guy that they're going to put the money on in 2024 to run for president. But going back to this whole situation, in Bel Air, there's just all kinds of nationalities. And, I'm living in a van, and it doesn't matter whether I'm, Mexican or not. In fact, all the guys working there are all Mexican. It's like you there's a couple white people, one brother.
No.
We're all Mexican working there. And
well,
that's because it's cheap labor.
But
why don't you
if
you weren't a Christian, you could hobnob with some Bel Air wife and get yourself a rich woman.
Well, there's a couple things.
He can still get married.
One is,
he's not a eunuch, are you?
I proposed to him tonight.
No.
You're out of the loop.
There actually are a couple situations like that where I could actually fall. But an interesting thing, they actually they have a management position for the place that's coming up. They actually referred me, so it'll be interesting to see if I get it, because I would actually live there rent free, which would be hilarious.
That's excellent, John.
Yeah,
go for it.
That's pie in the sky. So I'll just take it as it comes. But I thought that's hilarious. From zero
a good way with people, and you're patient.
What?
It would be
not when it comes
thing.
To arguing politics, but just as on an individual level.
That would be the funniest thing, that I'm living at the absolute bottom of the barrel, and then I would never ever afford even a $3,000 or $4,000 a month place to actually live in a that is just crazy. It's beyond imagination.
Well, my friend Ken, he worked for the Cho family. They owned a building in Koreatown, and he was the manager. He was a member of our church, but then the Rodney King riots swept through town, and parts of the building got destroyed and stuff, and I think Ken moved out eventually.
I just can't imagine people pay that much money for rent. It's just, it's kind of like living in a hotel, because basically $200 a night is times 30 days is $6,000. So you can figure it's like staying in a hotel every night.
It's ridiculous.
Even
up here, you guys, there's a peninsula called Canal Park. It's it goes between Minnesota and Wisconsin, and Lake Superior separates it. Some people are paying $165 a night for a hotel on Canal Park.
Wow.
In the summertime, that is. The rates have really gone up.
That's why I don't understand why anybody would on this program would give up home ownership. That's the only way to go. And I've been the homeowner.
Well, John didn't have a choice. He had a partner who forced him out. Now, I owned a home when I was married to Craig. That's the only time I owned a home.
Well, buy another home. That's all. Then get your van and go out.
I'm 62 years old, and I'm going to be raptured in 3 years.
What the hell does that mean?
Jesus is coming for Jane.
Honey, stop thinking like that.
And
if I
stay celibate, he's coming faster.
Yeah, but you ain't staying celibate, that's all right.
I am, too. I've been celibate since May.
Uh-huh, when you get a loud booty call. Okay.
Yeah, about the same time you did. Now I'm digging low, bro.
Yes, you are, too.
John, change the subject fast so we don't get into a wrestling match.
Yeah, no, I was just going to. I was just going to.
I owe the Fed $7,000, and I owe the state about the same, and I'm not going to get out of debt for at least a year.
Okay, well, bottom line is that you'll be able to get out of debt in a year. That's the bottom line. So,
amen, Jesus.
Yeah, you're good. I mean, right now I'm trying to put together a banquet for the NAACP, or Reno Sparks NAACP, and I'm trying to do it almost from scratch in about a month. And that's a Herculean task that I pretty much only I can probably do. So, it's going
to
be
something.
I was
talking to John tonight, I was thinking about you. Like, you're 67. You pick a job where you have to walk around neighborhoods. You're on all these boards and committees. When are you going to slow down?
Never.
That's a little crazy, too. Like, John was asking me tonight, how long are you – you've been doing two jobs for 8 years. He said something along those lines. Like, when am I going to slow down?
Well, the energy, excitement, and effort keeps me young. I know it does. And I don't take medicines. I don't do anything that's going to basically harm my body. But, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that I make it to 120. And I think everyone else should, too. Of course, I own a dance fitness and nutrition business. So I try to tell that to everybody. I try to make sure that everybody knows that if you have a quality life, that's all you can ask for. You know, quality nice, have a good family, and have a good relationship with God, you're good to go. Enjoy, the best of life. Don't have any worries. Have very little stress. And, that's idyllic. And so that's why I try to live my life like that. And I want other people to live with a lot less stress also, and that means taking care of their mind, spirit, and body, and that's the Trinity, your Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
I'm glad it's idyllic, but you're kind of overdoing it, too.
No,
I think John is, too, actually, in the construction business, but some weeks he doesn't have a choice.
Right, and that's the big difference. Because doing what I do, I just almost always have a choice. I always make sure that whatever I do, I have no one that is forcing me to do anything ever. And that's why I've had quite a few jobs, because I don't listen to anybody but myself. I don't idolize anyone. There's no one that
we talked about earlier.
Yeah, there's no one I've ever idolized. In my entire life, the only person that I can say that I really wished I could have emulated was Walter Cronkite. And that's why I went to journalism, broadcasting, got my degree in broadcast journalism.
Great. John, where are you at in your evening activities? Are you... finished showering now?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to go to the store, grab a couple things, and then get to bed, wake up at about 5-something, go open up all the building, and start another day of fun.
Yeah, you guys, I think we're only going to do an hour show tonight, which, we really have covered a lot. Now, there are a couple things in the news that piqued me this week, but I don't really have time to get into them at this point. I just think that even with me just scrolling through Instagram or whatever, I have to be careful that I don't get caught up in the idol worship either, because I can start watching, on Instagram, all of a sudden you're caught up in all these videos that you don't even intend to watch, and it's kind of a waste of time, actually.
I can't believe people do that. I can't believe people.
Well, we do. And we're more into. I don't do TikTok. I don't do TikTok. I do Snapchat once a week. Because my friend in not Colorado Mike, another friend of mine, sends TikTok videos a lot. I'd rather just look at pictures on Instagram. I don't like watching a bunch of videos.
I'd rather not look at anything. I'd rather you get your ass up and do what you used to do when you were younger and go cross country running and stuff. You used to
I'm
going to
start.
You had
because if
know,
I make
coffee.
Too much money again this year, it's not going to be a pretty sight.
Well, your taxes are going to be instead of 1 year, it'll be 2 years that you have to pay them back. That's all.
Anyways, John, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, it's just that the whole thing of idol worship, that's the nature of humanity is to worship things that people do. They've always created the golden calves, the owls, or beasts. You know, just look at the Egyptians.
What about people who worship themselves?
That would be you, John.
That would be
neat. But you look at the whole cultures throughout history, they've always worshipped, beasts, statues, just images. That's come. One of the Ten Commandments is not to have a graven image, right? And then as far as it came down to people worshipping Caesar, everything was a goddess or a god. And that continues into today. Today, people are sheep, and they need something to worship. Now, as far as why is it so prevalent today? Well, money. Hollywood, the movie industry, they all figured out there's money in this. That's when they started creating award shows. Why did they do that? Let's say the Oscars. It was to promote the movies so people would go see them and it would make more money. And that's become there's this almost disappointment when you meet a celebrity to realize they're just a human being. It's just like you and me. And there's this over-glorification Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, they had the perfect marriage. And you go down the line and then you find out, oh, these people, they had problems. They would drink or smoke or cheat on each other or whatever. And the image that Hollywood tried to portray to protect, look at Elvis, right? They always tried to portray him as a single guy because they didn't want him to be married because it could affect his record sales. And so that's even to today, all this stuff with the publicity machine, it's just to promote and make money is what it is for the movie studio or the label or the company. That's how come you have all this over hype. And it's an image, right? It's like, it's no one can live up to these images. You look at even these actresses, right? I mean, how many of them, they can't go outside without makeup? And when they do, the media tries to embarrass them. And when they get older.
You know who doesn't wear makeup is Cameron Diaz. She did a whole video without makeup. J-Lo did a whole video without makeup, but she was promoting her makeup while she was doing it. But a lot of people, Gwyneth Paltrow hardly ever wears makeup on Instagram. So some of them do and some of them don't.
Yeah, you also have to figure out, a lot of these gals are more the better looking ones, but there's a lot of celebrities that look terrible without makeup, they age really poorly.
I agree.
And you take someone, take an example like Pamela Anderson, who's very beautiful. And in the last couple of years, she's just, her looks have faded. And then if she doesn't wear makeup, she looks like a homeless person. Or even Sofia Vergara, who's, pretty attractive gal. You get so used to seeing them with tons of makeup that
they're almost, it's hard to recognize them without. It's really kind of, you know, crazy. And us come guys, it's a lot easier because there's not so much makeup. So you pretty much, they can age and look masculine. But with the women, it's pretty tough. I mean, you don't see too many 60-year-old glamour stars, you know, as far as females. Very hard. There's just a few that can keep it up.
That don't wear makeup. Like Susan Sarandon, she doesn't wear makeup, and she's over 60. But
she's an attractive lady. Yes.
Yeah, and so we're talking put a lipstick on a pig, and it's still a pig kind of thing. So, you know, that's why we don't need to worship them at all. Just enjoy their entertainment value and go on to the next day.
Well, that's the problem, though, is because we've become such an entertainment society with the advent of television, movie, and commercials.
Also, another thing that made it big was American Idol and America's Got Talent. Like, everybody
right.
wants to be a performer. And
I mean,
there's a lot of dancing apps on Instagram where everybody makes short videos about their dancing.
Well, you know, cultures
have changed
over the years.
From people from age 5 to 95.
I mean, kids grow up with the TV on all the time. So it's programming that we didn't have, you know, like 60, 70 years ago. Not like this level. And even before the TV, right? You know, like in the 40s, you know, what did people do? They listened to the radio. But, you know, before then, it was different. You know, families talked around a dinner table and you had more social
events. I kind of liked the radio better than TV.
Okay,
well, I'm going to let you guys go. I got big fish to fry tomorrow. And,
all right, sounds like John.
Pretty soon John's going to live in the 90210, and then I can visit him there.
Yeah, well, you might not want to because there's just as much crime in some of those places as anywhere else.
I can handle it. I used to live in Boyle Heights.
All right. Yes, you did.
Okay, have a good night, you guys. Thanks for calling in. Boy. I'll end with one of John's songs, okay?
Alrighty.
John, resend me that Spanish song you wrote about 4 years ago. I still have the same old song.
I was going to say, you know, I've got like 40 or 50 songs. You should play
some
other stuff.
For some reason, BTR will only accept MP4s now. I think you were sending me MP3s.
Oh, really? MP4s? Wow.
Yeah, I was having problems uploading your songs.
Oh,
okay,
nice.
I'm going to play The Throne, Before the Throne. Pretty soon you'll hear it. Hey, behave, Don, and I'll see you guys at Christmas. I'll see you guys at Christmas time.
You see you. All right. Bye.
Okay, good night. Adequate, I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. But things have been, and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate. I stumble and I fall. Still, you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We
before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow.